Y'all sit down. I told you, first church I served was in Wyoming, didn't I? Y'all? Sarah and Melissa were littler then. Still as much trouble. Today's a fishy day. Fishy day. Did you see the sermon title? How many of you noticed it? You're all looking around, I'm sure I noticed it. It's a fishy day. It's smack a mackerel. It's cuddle a cod. Something fishy. Taiapo in Tongan. Is that right? Fishy. Taiapo. Yeah? That's what Paya told me. She better not giving me the wrong words. Something's fishy. Taiapo. Yeah? They're looking at me with the strangest looks. I'm just kidding. Your bulletin cover has, and the picture on the screen, those are Irish fish. I don't know what that means and what that's about, but I thought the picture was pretty. So there you go. You got those. I do want you to remember it's Tongan, or it's Pacific Islander month, so hug a Tongan. Hug a Tongan as often as you can this week. We are very fortunate to have some Tongans that we can descend upon and hug after worship. So you guys are in for it. You hear me? All right, we'll be hugging some Tongans later here. But you heard the gospel lesson, did you hear? Jesus had a fish breakfast with them. Tongans, do Tongans like fish breakfast?
Yes.
Do you fish before breakfast? Fish breakfast, though. We'll have to do that one of these days, a fish breakfast. I don't know that I've ever had a fish breakfast. I like fish. Neither here nor there. But let's go on with fishiness here. Let's talk about Paul. You've heard about Paul. Now, this is Saul we're talking about. And there's something fishy going on here. This is Saul. Saul is breathing threats and murder against the disciples. Did you hear that when Joe read it? He's a really bad dude. This Saul is, there's nothing. He's not a good person to be around. And yet, he is a perfect person. He's an enforcer for the Jews. He's the one that has all the laws, and he gets a letter so that he can go and bind those who are disobeying. And man, he has the letter of the law, and he loves to exact his authority. He is correct and perfect in the eyes of the chief priests and the Pharisees. And he is vigorous. Saul will understand, as we know him later as Paul. But Saul is very vigorous, very energetic. He's a type A personality, wasn't he? And he's so vigorous. And he's on his way to go do more. He must have been gleeful. He has a letter from the chief priests. And he's on the road to Damascus. And he's on the road and he's traveling along, and Jesus knocks him to the ground and blinds him. Took that much to get his attention. None of us are that hard-headed, are we? None of us would have resisted and stuck with the story that we'd always had and just not listened and not opened our minds. Surely not us. But here comes the fishy part. This fella Ananias. Now, there are three Ananiases. I'm not sure how the plural goes, so I just made sure I covered it there. Did you catch that? There's an Ananias. See, and then I can't even say it. There's an Ananias who's a priest, and he is a chief priest, but he's not in this story, and he's very anti-Christian. Then you might remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira. When the disciples form their group and they all have everything in common, these two decide that they'll have everything in common except the things that they don't want to have in common, which they hold back. It does not work out well. But that's not the Ananias we're talking about either. This is another Ananias, a totally independent one, and this is the only time we see or hear from him. But he is a devotee of Christ. He's a follower. And he knows the scoop. He has heard the word. This guy, Saul, breathing threats and murder against any of the disciples and any who follow. And the Lord goes to Ananias and says, hey, I want you to go to Saul. He says, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil that he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority of the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name. Lord, this man is a really bad dude. That's not quite what he says in the scripture. But Ananias, rightly, is fearful to go anywhere near this. This is like sending a guppy to go and punish a whale. Go get him. Sending Nemo out for the sharks. It's just not something that's going to go well. But Ananias is obedient. And he goes. And Saul's sight is restored. And Saul is baptized. And Saul begins to proclaim Christ. This is an important biblical piece of our history. This informs us so much on so many levels. This is Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Nothing fishy there. But let's turn to the gospel lesson. Obviously, we've got fish right there on the beach. They're going to have a charcoal fire and they're going to grill those fish. I got to tell you, I shouldn't be having sermons about food right before lunch, should I? It's a dangerous edge that we're on, but this is where we are. This is after Jesus' death. Jesus has been tried and scourged, crucified and died, buried. And the disciples, it's over. The whole movement has died. The leader has been killed. He's dead. What are you going to do? The movement was centered around the Lord. This movement is over. They return to what they know. They go back to fishing. And so they're out fishing. When Jesus appears on the beach, and how's it going out there? How are the fish biting? That's not quite the scripture, but you get the gist. Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. But at Jesus' direction, they cast their nets again. Now, here's something fishy. You remember their four gospels? Let's name them real quickly. Ryer. The four gospels are Matthew, Mark. Ryer, I'm over here, buddy. Up here. Here we go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. None of them are named Ryer, but hang on with me. John and Luke both talk about this event with the disciples fishing and unable to catch fish until Jesus directs them. Now, in Luke, it occurs when he calls the disciples. You may remember at the very beginning of his ministries, he's traveling around and he sees, and the crowd has swamped him and he is just overwhelmed. So there's some fishing boats and he gets in one and puts out a little ways on and he preaches from the boat. You remember the story? And then they fish and they can't catch anything at all. And he says, put down on the right side. And they catch so many fish that their nets are bursting. That's how Luke tells the story. And they realize after that, and they set aside their boats and nets and they follow the Lord. That's where Luke tells it. But for John, now we are after Jesus' death. The story is just as important because they're fishing and they can't fish because they're fishing the way they used to be fishing. And Jesus says, there's a new way of fishing. And when you fish like this, there's so many fish. What did it say? 103 fish in this net. Isn't that what Joe, did it say 103 fish in the net? You remember? 153. What did I say? Something else. All right. There's a lot of fish, and they're almost breaking the nets. They can't haul them in. It's too many. When Jesus directs us to fish, we will catch fish. That's both literal and metaphorical because we need to be about catching fish and feeding sheep. Now, I don't want to get mixed here in my metaphors. I'm busy with fish. So although we have the sheep and we feed the sheep and we tend the lambs and all of that, that's another, and just hang on for another sermon on that later. intriguing that Jesus would send Ananias to fish for a man who persecutes Christians. All right, Jesus comes to you and says, I want you to go and I want you to recruit, think of the most awful, horrible, dangerous person you could possibly call to go and approach. That's who I'm going to send you to. Oh, Lord, you sure you got the right number on that? I don't think this is good. I am afraid, Lord. This zealot Pharisee named Saul is the worst possible person you could be sent to go and try and recruit. And yet, Ananias obeys, and that is important to remember. Because even though Saul, he's a really bad dude. Have I mentioned that yet? He's a really bad dude. And although that's who he is, Christ redeems him. That is so important to remember. That asks us the question, who is beyond redemption? Are there any that could be beyond redemption? If Saul of Tarsus can be redeemed, are there any who cannot? So we're about fishing. And right here and now, in this day and age, in the last 10, 15 years, in my ministry now that I'm retired, I can look back on it. Do I look retired yet? Looking, yes, shush, Mark. Mark's over here laughing. I'm so sick. I do have my senior moments, I agree. But looking back, we're at a moment in the church that is such a change. Our numbers here indicate some of that. We have churches that are closing and continue to close because we've been fishing the way we've always done it, the way our parents did it, the way our grandparents did it. Think about that a moment. Back in the church, in the good old days, in the church the way it was, women weren't preachers. Matter of fact, women were supposed to sit in the back and keep your mouth shut and ask your husbands when you get home. Good luck on that one in here, huh? We have women preachers. You've had women preachers in this church. We have a woman district superintendent. We have a woman bishop. We have people of all different colors. We have all kinds of mixes of matches. We have John Wesley fell out. There was a group of people that were following Wesley, came to the Americas, in the new frontier land here, and they decided to form Wesleyan churches, but they weren't allowed to be Wesleyan because they didn't lead and preach the service in English. They wanted to do it in German. The Evangelical United Brethren. We won't go down that road too far. But unless you were in English, you could not be a Methodist. On your Tongan services, are those in English or in Tongan? I believe they're in Tongan. So we've learned something. This isn't our parents' church anymore, and can't be and shouldn't be. So we're being called continually to fish in different ways. There's something fishy going on. Which fish shall we be fishing for? Think about it. And think about who the fish are that are in our churches and who are the fish that are not in our churches that need to be, that Christ wants us to reach, and how we will fish for them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.